Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, hey, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Now in studio tonight, we have Lee Shaw, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, Denise Boyd, and my lovely co-host, Shantae. Okay, tonight we are going to be talking basically about homegrown terrorism, based on what happened in France, and just a lot of people have, I guess really raised the eyebrows of a lot of folks, and we really just kind of want to sit down and see where that's going, or if there's any solutions, or what the government's going to do, or what they, you know, plan to try to do. But first, I want to kind of get a few comments or ideas or on the movie. What was the name of the movie?
Selma?
Yeah, Selma, but I always want to call it Martin Luther King. I don't know why, but just kind of an open discussion on Melvin, what did you think? Lee, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No.
Okay. So what did you think on that, Melvin?
You know what, I think any movie that deals with the history, African-American and all like that have to be applauded. It's needed. Mm-hmm. We need more movies like that that teaches the history. I like to see the fact that it was an African-American screenwriter African-American director and screenwriter and producer and all like that. I think that was important. Mm-hmm. I think this... it highlighted one of the important incidents in the life of Dr. King, kind of humanized him to the extent of showing all of the different conflict and pressure that he was under. I thought the acting was absolutely outstanding. You know, I thought it was very outstanding acting and all like that. Really a timely pieces. We need more pieces like that, because the type of violent environment that we live in now, Dr. King, when you think about Dr. King, the first thing that always come up is this whole concept of nonviolence, and it gives us a chance to look at that and see if it's still relevant for the time period that we live in. But overall, I always applaud any kind of movie like that that's different from the commercial type movie that come out of Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. I got questions for you, but we're not really gonna get into that. Nishi, would you care to say anything about that?
Well, I thought the movie told a part about what I didn't really know about. I mean, you know, when I think of Dr. King, you know, I just, you know, I got a dream speech and you know, on his
pedestal.
You know, that and, you know, just the regular movies that came out. This was, reminded me, what I had said was a little bit of all the political work that went on behind the scenes that you don't necessarily know about. His trips with Johnson, the things that had gone on with Wallace, even the one director that made, you know, numerous trips out there, and how a lot of things were like... behind the scenes that were going on, more than just him standing in the front and say, okay, we're all going to get together, we're going to do this march, and this is what was going on. There was a lot of backroom type of things going on that was very interesting to me that I didn't even know about.
Shantae?
Yeah, I agree with Melvin. I was reading a lot of reviews on it after we watched it, and a lot of people were saying how it really humanizes Martin Luther King, a lot of his struggles and doubts and kind of frustrations. And a lot of times when they project him at schools and in the media, he's always, you know, kind of strong and confident in it. And I thought it was really interesting to see him in a different light, that he was struggling and, you know, he's just trying to figure out what it is that we're doing. And I thought the way that it was shot was really cool, especially the first like 10 minutes of the film with the the church, you know, I can kind of see where that, yeah, I knew that, you know, that was coming, and just didn't expect it to come out like that. So I thought the way they shot it kind of was really, yeah, shocking and powerful, and I like that they did shoot it that way.
Well, it was really humbling for me, because I look at the struggle, and I mean, it makes you mad. Because, like I was telling Shante, that there's a lot of that prejudice still very much alive in very high places today. And it's, I don't know what it's for. It's all the death and all the, I mean, people are, you know, progressing. You know, we're growing, and all the murders and all of the, you know, bad laws and injustices, it's not stopping that. And so why can't we just get it, you know? Let's just get it and then, you know, try to encourage people to do their best, be their best, no matter what they are, who they are. So, I mean, that's my take on it. It was nicely put together. I like the fact that they, you know, brought out that he was having an affair and he was that kind of a person and he smoked and that kind of thing, because we do put him on a pedestal. A lot of us don't see that. A lot of us didn't even know that. Even when I heard that, I thought it was propaganda. Mm-hmm. So, but it's true. So anyway, we're going to move on to our topic tonight. And I would just like to start that with standing on the corner of San Julian and 6th Street down in Skid Row at night, say maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're standing there waiting for the light to turn green, and there's all kinds of people around you. And I'm pretty sure of myself when it comes to protecting myself, but down there, there's no defense. If somebody wanted to get you, they could get you, because you just don't really have a defense. Okay, now, I'm going to go to, say, Friday night at the gym. I was at the gym, and a young man walks in, and it's hard for me to describe this. What do you call that? He had the Muslim look going with the beard, and it was a white guy with the beard and the hat, the thing, and he had a backpack. And what I'll do, Niece, is go ahead and read that thing that ISIS was is that.
Well, I got some information off the internet. It's from the New York Daily News, and it says the NYPD is worried that ISIS video will inspire radicals to get a knife or another weapon for homegrown terrorist attacks. And the article kind of goes on to say, and it's the Deputy Commissioner John Miller that's talking at the time. And says, ISIS directs its supports to the West to take up arms and kill its enemies. And he said this at a city council meeting. And the message is that you should do whatever you can with whatever you have. And then they said there's a video of a militant holding up an AK-47 that directs his followers. If you can't come fight with us and you can't get one of these, and he's referring to the gun, simply go to your local store and get a knife or another weapon. And the propaganda piece is an end to the ominous graphics. It says that you use what you have, and there's a picture of an axe. And it says, so the communications are coming out in the recent months that are fairly, that are concerning. And it went on to talk about the attack on the cops in Queens by the jihad-inspired Zale Thomas. It was a prime example of the type of terrorism that ISIS is inspiring. And basically it's saying that, you know, you don't have to come fight over in our country. You don't have to do anything. You can follow our beliefs and stuff by just going to your local hardware store and causing as much mayhem and death as you possibly can with the things that no one's going to, you know, suspect. I mean, if you go down there and you buy a hatchet, no one's thinking anything about anybody buying a hatchet. You can go to Home Depot and buy one of those.
Okay. Now what I'm saying, or the comparison is, I don't have to put myself on Skid Row at 11 o'clock at night, but I go to the gym. I'm comfortable at the gym, and I'm stereotyping, like Shantae was kind of bringing out. You know, he had the look, he had the backpack. But if that young man pulled a gun or a knife or whatever out of that backpack and just started killing people, I mean, what do we do against that? How do we, as Americans, how do we as people, you know, it doesn't even make a difference if you're American or whatever religion you are, whatever you are, if you're not Islam or, and I'm probably, you can probably correct me, Melvin, you're dead. You know, basically, that's their belief. If you don't believe or think like them, then basically you're dead. How do we combat against that?
You want to start out? I think the first way that you combat with that, like how you combat with anything, you combat by starting from the point of view of the truth, right? And the same kind of situations that they developed after the young man up in Colorado went into the movie theater and shot up, mm-hmm. or same kind of situation we have an individual that went to the elementary school and shot it all up like that.
So basically, see, what you're saying is that it's more than Islam. It's just a common deal.
Yeah, and I would even go to as far as to say that it's not Islam at all. See. And then, because one of the things you have to look at about ISIS, I look at ISIS, people might look at ISIS as an Islamic organization, but I look at ISIS for exactly what it is. If a person do their research on it, mm-hmm. it's a CIA-created organization.
You Whoa, know, the, Melvin.
It's in the sense that, and this is what I mean by looking at the whole the situation.
Well, you need to, when you say it's a CIA.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
I know, you got to break that down.
When I say it's a CIA-created organization, it's just like Osama bin Laden was created by the CIA because okay. they were created to fight against the Soviet Union. And then when that war faded off the scene and stuff like that, they backed up off them. Mm-hmm. So the people who make up ISIS, who are these people that make up ISIS? These are the people that came as a result of when they brought Saddam Hussein down, when they brought Gaddafi down, and when they brought Mubarak down in Egypt. See, when they went in into Iraq, and you had all of these people, you had a structure there, trained military people. And then they immediately go in there and do what? They put all of these people out of jobs. What do they think going to happen to these people? And then you got the same thing develop in areas like Syria. See, that part of the world is very complicated, and it don't start now. It started with the exploitation of the West, you know, the causing all of this economic misery in these particular areas.
So why are we causing that economic misery? Are you talking about sanctioning?
To be honest about the bottom line of causing all of these economic misery have to do with controlling the natural resources of those areas. And what are one of the major natural resources that come out of those areas?
Oil. But natural gas is climbing the charts.
But when you look at oil, what's mm-hmm. going on right now with the oil is that the prices just hit rock bottom mm-hmm. because of because United States started going into their fracking of everything. So now what's come down to get the oil price on down was you're looking at the Arab countries on over there saying, let me see, if it costs $50 a gallon is like the bare minimum that United States can put out for fracking, we're going to drop that down below because then we can still control the amount of oil that's going on out. And they can't produce their own because they want the Western world, especially the United States, to be dependent upon them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why the oil prices now have just, you know, plummeted down to hardly anything, because now they're stopping a lot of the fracking because they can't afford it. It's oil is cheaper than what they can. They would, over in the Arab countries, would rather take that loss because they can pump it out for $2, $3 a gallon out the ground. It's like just turning on a spigot. We can't do that. Ours has to be a lot harder but, to do.
How is this getting back into the terrorism thing?
Right, yeah. I want to get back to the point of, let's get all the way back to the point that you was talking about, going to the gym and going to the...
Not being able to protect myself, right, or right. Feeling like my life is probably...
You're vulnerable.
And I think it's the... When you count the number of incidents that we, like homegrown terrorists and all that kind of stuff, and compare them, you can just... I think the way the situation is now, with what we're just seeing over the summer, with Trayvon Martin, with all these little youngsters, Mike Brown and Ferguson and all these youngsters, I think we should be more fearful when we see a police pop up than a Islamic person, okay, if we look at the results. And So all I'm saying is I think the key... You'll never defeat what they call militant Islam, and then you have to look at it from a two-point of view and know the history of it. See, you got modern Islam, and you got militant Islam
or extremist, right?
Well, militant Islam, extremist is the same thing,
right?
You know, it's just broke off into two sections and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, what you have in the United States, you have the modern Islamic movement. Was basically started by Waruf D. Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it would have been stronger now if he was still living. See, the immigrant Muslims, you know, have never been able to even integrate into the cities with the African Americans. Like Detroit, when I was going to school, the number one exploiters in Detroit was the Arab population, which I'm Muslim. They practice the Islamic faith and all that kind of stuff. See, I think... The battle of militant Islam, you can only battle it with knowledge. You mean, and you can only battle it within context of that scripture, what's okay. in there, pointing out the errors. You can never defeat it. You know, you can never defeat it with weapons and all that kind of. It'll never happen.
Okay, now see? What? Okay,
mm-hmm.
To get back to you're talking about. That I should be more afraid of a cop than a person that looks Islamic, or if that's even the right term or terminology.
Just using an example. If we're going to go by the results,
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that according to what ISIS is trying to do, what you're saying is accurate, but this homegrown thing is probably going to blow up pretty soon. And that's what I'm saying. Is you're right about...
Yeah.
And that's a show in itself.
How many have you seen? Let's think about it now. How many homegrown terrorist incidents that we know about? Just go. We can even go the last 2 years. Have it been more than 20 that we know about?
You got to take a lot of what's going on when they start talking about the shootings, like it's at Sandy Hook and some of these schools and stuff that are going on. Mm-hmm. Those are. What I look at is those aren't, in my mind, a homegrown terrorist. Those are troubled youth that's got some screws that are loose.
But what he's saying, stuff. Go ahead.
But I mean, they still are doing a lot of the destruction and stuff. They aren't necessarily targeting
innocent people.
Well, no, they're targeting innocent people, but they don't have a stance.
Their motives. Let me ask.
I guess I'm having a problem with the semantics of it because. Let's break that word up. Let's break up homegrown. That means somebody that's come from here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of terrorist is somebody that terrorized the population.
I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
We're going to break out a homegrown terrorist. It's when I'm looking at people like what Dr. King that was dealing with, when they dealing with the Klans,
mm-hmm.
see, and people don't call that Christian terrorists do it. They didn't. Do they? You ever hear them refer to the?
I never heard it. They don't call it.
Did they ever consider the Klan to be Christian?
Exactly.
They use the Bible.
They stand on that.
You use the Bible and that's what you stand on doesn't make you a Christian.
I know.
That's what they call themselves.
Now say that about Islam. Because they used. You see what I mean?
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think everybody that's Muslim is a terrorist.
Right. There's, you know, extremists. So there's extremists.
There's extremists
in every religion, every race,
right. every walk of life. Yep. There's okay. extremists.
So you're saying every religion has the terrorist side, but we just label
from a historical point of view, you can even go back as far as before Judaism, before Islam and Christianity came into existence. When you had Judaism, just read the works of Flavius Josephus, and you see that you had a group called the Zealots. They mentioned them. One of Jesus' disciples was a zealot. They would have been called terrorists because they were fighting. It was an underground movement against the Roman Empire that had occupied their land. See, and then when you think about the Crusades, you know, you can't match the vicious history of the Crusades
the
when they were
fighting, I mean,
you know,
the
Islam against death. Christianity then. Mm-hmm. See, but what I'm seeing now, and I really think we're moving past that, our young people, they're spending all of this time on these little machines picking up games. They better start picking up all this access of information that they have right at their fingertips to keep from letting these different governments and stuff manipulate them into wars where they send other people off to fight for them, not their children, the people that's causing all of these wars and stuff. That's all I'm saying like that. I just think it's a whole fallacy. The way that they emphasize on this homegrown, the whole terrorist concept.
Well,
you know,
Denise was bringing out something about that's where a lot of them are learning it. Were you saying it? The two guys in France were learned.
Well, they learned. Mm-hmm. They actually were taught. You know, they didn't go over to Iraq or Syria or whatever. They were taught in an apartment in Paris. Yeah. And because nowadays
the internet,
they were internet and stuff. But because that's the way. I mean, let's face it. You know, one of the reasons they said that Obama was so popular was he was able to use the internet. He was very active on social media, on those things. Mm-hmm. That was something that nobody else had ever had run for president or other things had ever been able to do. You can reach a whole lot more people for not a lot of money on the internet. So you have young kids, you know, that are very impressionable. You're talking about 16 to 25 year olds. They're trying to feel their oats and find something. So they get on the internet and they get sucked into whatever type of groups it is. You know, whether it's Black Muslim, it's Judaism, it's Christianity, whatever it is. And they take whatever they read as the honest to God truth out there. They don't do a lot of that research.
Okay, what Melvin was saying and what you're saying is we're talking about a solution or how do we stop it. It seems like to me that we can stop it if we cut it out or take it off of the internet, because that's what's bringing it in.
But you know,
that's what you're saying. They're playing games, but a lot of them are learning how to make bombs and being influenced by this the social media.
But you go and you're going now against everything that the country stands for by taking away your constitutional right to freedom of press and freedom of speech. By saying, who's going to be the one that determines what's okay to put on the internet and what's not okay to put on the internet? And who's going to be the one that says...
They do that anyway, I think, like, with a lot of stuff that's going on with NSA and kind of tapping into phone calls and conversations like that. I think people are labeling that as unconstitutional because you can't know if you're on a watch list or know if your phone calls are being tapped into. Mm-hmm. And people, they say that that's used as a way to kind of combat terrorism, but they're, you know, kind of targeting people that aren't really, you know, suspicious or anything like that.
But how do you know they're suspicious? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know that the person sitting right next to you in class, you don't know what they've gone on and what they're doing. They look just like we all look and stuff. These people that, you know, that are going out like in the Sandy Hook, this was just... You know, a common little kid that nobody knew when he was at the grocery store the week before buying a soda that he was going in with some kind of gun and killing half, you know, 30 kids.
Okay, but what Shantae is saying about the bugging, is that maybe a solution to... No, wait a minute, man. Is it like... Is it a solution to listen in and maybe foil a lot of the plots that are being, you know, conjured or planned to attack innocent people, if there's such a thing?
Did Lee, you want to say something? No, you want to join? And then I want to comment on that.
Let me see. You know, some people like green peas and some people don't, right? No, no, hold on.
I'm here.
Everybody don't want a democracy. They've been living their way for 1,000 years, and you can't force it on them. Mm-hmm. Just like you can't force the green peas on somebody that don't eat them. They're allergic to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? For, who knows, the last 50 years, let's say 50 years, the floodgates of America has been open, right?
Mm-hmm.
They never thought about none of this stuff that's going on now. Never gave an inkling about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just open the floodgates up, no check, nobody, run across the, wherever they come from, come on in. Right? Give you $25,000, start your business up.
Mm.
You know, now, all of this is coming back to get them. It's coming back to get everybody. But when you say people like the groups of ISIS and all this other stuff right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't come up one day and just invent it, you know, just, oh, I'm going to call this thing ISIS, or we're going to get together, we're going to do this right here. You know, it's way up in the air, man. It's way up. Mm-hmm. To where the average person, even the things you get off the internet, you got to question some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you really don't know unless you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You know, and they can feed you.
Oh, you're talking about media.
Yeah, they can feed you a whole bunch of junk and have you swallow it and have you looking at everybody wear a kufi. Your heart start racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, everybody. Oh, and then you turn in your homegrown thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
25 years ago, was people blowing up buildings, blowing up people, killing people like this right here?
I don't know.
No. I'll tell you now. No. Not even Sandy Hook and none of the rest of this stuff was going on.
Oh, you mean at the scale? In America.
In America, right?
Uh-huh.
Because one, those that are Muslim, I'm not talking about playing, they don't go out and kill people for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those that do are not Muslim. I don't care what you call it, you're not a Muslim.
I understand what you're
saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't go out, you don't do that. The book, the Quran, it tell you, no, can't happen.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Just like suicide. You don't own yourself. You know, and everything happens by the will of God. Mm. And that's in the Bible.
Mm. And I see, mm. and what I want to say, getting back to, we talked a little earlier about Dr. King,
mm-hmm.
and the most important things that he was trying to push. And he said these three greatest evils that he warned about. Remember, Dr. King assassinated him in 1968, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's been gone quite some time. He said it was poverty, the military, and what else? Racism, right? All this other stuff diverts from the truth that he's telling. You want to know what's happening with the problem in this society? We still haven't made the adjustment from enslaving, from one group of people enslaving another group of people for almost 400 years. See? Now,
we haven't made the adjustment, what are you saying that white people have not made the adjustment, or black people haven't made the adjustment to balance out the evil
I'm gonna break it down to the.
You said like a mentality thing?
The mentality and the real aspect of it. The mentality, right? Because mm-hmm. racism still exists. All the past summer proved that we were all. And then the reality of the situation is sharing the huge amount of wealth that was developed from exploiting a particular people for almost 400 years. See? That's at the root of the problem. That's at the root of that. I'm just breaking it down. And then, this is what Dr. King talking about when talking about racism, how to solve that problem. See, just can't sweep it under the rug and pretend that all of that don't affect what's happening in our society today. And then the poverty thing that's tied into that. So many people out of jobs and stuff. Way more people out of job in the Islamic world than over here, but it still affects mainly people of color in these inner cities and stuff like that, right? And what's the other one he talked about? Warfare. I mean, we got all of this technology. We in the most technical age that we live in, and we still out there fighting each other like dogs, like we was in the first century or something, or going back to B.C. See, what I'm saying, that it is time to look past the media. Our young people, that's what I'm hoping, that they use technology the right way to really educate the world, to develop a whole different kind of society. Because when you talk about Islam, and they talking about militant Islam, and they ain't talking about the educational system that Islam created that they use now, or the medical system that Islam created that they use now. See, all they want to do is to make them focus in on some people that's doing the same thing that the Klans and all of these other cats was doing back in history. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that if we're going to deal with this homegrown terrorist thing that they're trying to throw at us, and also look at it, France, you got to keep this in mind about France, because from a historical point of view, France have always passed the ball. When they go out here and exploit, and then they get into trouble, and then they pass it off to their ally, the United States. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They exploited Vietnam for all these years, and then when the Vietnamese knocked them out of there, they reached around and got the United States involved and stuff like that. See, I'm not saying that any of this is right. All I'm saying is that I believe in what Dr. King was talking about, that the solution is a nonviolent solution. And we can no longer allow these people in power who make all of these crazy laws, but they're not willing to commit their kids to go out and fight in Iraq and all of these other places and stuff like that. When we talk about it, this whole Islamic thing, I think we have to talk about it all that's happening.
I mean, you can't talk about it.
I'm going to do the announcements, and then we'll get back to our discussion. The best impression started home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. Live in large furniture. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. That's 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Krumwan has a weekly veterans theater workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6, and it's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information about this, please contact Melvin Ishmael Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Students for Global Peace Warming invites you to participate in Arts for Peace on January 27th. That's during Peace Week at the UC Irvine campus. Arts for Peace is an opportunity to showcase how peace can be infused with creativity. So if you paint, act, sing, write poetry, or play music, this gives you a chance to present your talent and inspire others through the theme of peace. You must be affiliated with UCI to participate, but anyone is welcome to attend the event. That's Tuesday, January 27th. It's at the Student Terrace Center. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. Uncultivated Rabbits, the only spoken word campus at UC Irvine, will have its monthly open mic event on Monday, February 7th at 6 p.m. in Humanities Hall, room 262. And anyone is welcome to participate in that. You don't have to be affiliated with UC Irvine. We'd like to thank our engineer, Cheyenne, doing a great job, as always. Thank you so much. If you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. To learn more about our ministry, Positive Light Ministries, and donate, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. Thank you so much for tuning in to Positive Perspective. You can visit iTunes, download previous podcasts from our shows, and if you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. Back to our discussion.
Okay, that was what's going on out there, Shante Marie Duncan. Okay, we are in studio with Lee Shaw, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, Denise Boyd, and the lovely Shante. Our discussion is on homegrown terrorism, and Melvin's breaking it down for us. And what I'm getting the most out of this, I mean, overall, what I'm getting out of this is, like you were saying in the class, is we have to research and gain knowledge to win or to understand and then hopefully win. But, I mean, without all that being said, you have a group of people that are trying to kill us. Now, yeah, the police have been doing it for years, and officials in government, top officials in governments have approved it and shut their eyes and cheated and stole and beat and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, to me, that there are people that want us dead.
Well, Jim, you say that, you say people that want us dead. You talking about yourself personally or Americans, period? I mean, you know, you talking about
when
Black
I say
America,
us,
Latino America,
no, I'm talking about
Asian America.
Americans, and see, and when you say Black America, are Black Americans?
Oh, yeah, well, you know,
everybody wants us dead. Everybody.
I'm glad you said that, because my next little thing is right here. You know, Melvin said something about the politicians. They'll send your kid to war, but they won't send their family, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and if we look back in the history, like that little thing, Black Wall Street, right? You weren't able to go to war. You weren't able to participate in these wars, right? So you stayed at home, right? And while you stayed at home, you progressed, right? Because you could focus in on really what you wanted to do, right? It's like the thing, you know, most areas like
that. I'm not understanding that.
Well, I understand what Lee is saying, but the thing is, since 1972, the draft has not been in place.
Yeah.
So, you know, prior to that, when the draft was in place, and, you know, you look at the percentage of the amount of people that were drafted. You know, I went predominantly to an all-white school. There was a whole lot of kids that I went to school with that were drafted too. Probably not the same ratio as, you know, maybe Blacks or Hispanics or anything. But since 72, the draft has not been in place. The problem is that our kids aren't getting the education to move on, where you say that those that were able to stay at home in the 60s and 70s got the education, where, you know, the poor people were the ones that were out fighting a political war that was out there. I think now one of the things that Melvin brought up that Dr. King had said was one of our biggest issues was poverty. With what's going on now, you know, there's poverty in every major city that's out there, and the government pumps tons of money into that. But the problem is with pumping tons of money into the poverty is not the solution by just putting more money in down through there. The money isn't being, in my opinion, used properly to try to educate the kids, educate the moms and the dads to get a job. Just handing money out on a welfare or an EBT card is not helping the situation. It's just creating another generation of the same thing over and over. The only way that we're going to really be able to help, you know, the poverty situation is to get people to, you know, get up and say, I'm going to somehow get myself out of this. There's a million programs out there to help you brush yourself off and say, I'm not going to do this more.
Yeah, I know, but what does that got to do with people trying to kill us? And I know what you're saying. Black people
are, in my opinion. Are you saying about what we should be focusing on instead of focusing on that?
Well, I'm saying that with the most important focus is what Denise was saying earlier. We know this whole concept that they call homegrown terrorists exists. So the question that we should be asking, why, we want to get these results on why, and then how can we solve this why, the questions that come up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a similar thing that you would ask when we want to know how come gangs in the city, what's the reason for so many gangs partnering up, fighting and killing each other?
You call them terrorists.
Yeah, well, right.
I mean, but the key thing
in solving the problems that afflict the gangs, and most of them is so similar because there's economics usually at the bottom, and isolation, the sense of isolation. It's a similar here. So when we figure that out, instead of letting the media drive it, then we could do what Denise was talking about a little earlier, utilize all of this money that they throw at an idea and come up with some real solutions, which in the majority of cases is cheaper than that. And it starts with knowledge. Mm-hmm. It starts with, just like if you're going to deal with the guys that get involved with gangs and all that situation has to be studied. The question has to be asked, why are they involved with gangs? Is it any kind of factors? Do it have anything to do with the fact that they might have come out of single homes, or their father might be in prison, or they don't have any jobs or anything like
or
that?
Or they don't have a mom, or the exactly. environment they grew
exactly.
up in.
Exactly.
And then how do you pump money into that?
Well, no, I'm saying
how do you pump money into a mentality wants to kill and hurt because they're killing.
Here's the way. What I'm saying is first you get to correct. Information. You get the correct information why you have this result, why you have these gangs acting like this. And then you ask the next question. What can I do to solve this? If this young man need to be re-educated or need to be provided jobs and all that kind of stuff. And then you move over to the whole concept that they're talking about with the homegrown terrorists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask, now is anybody... Well, a few out there, but not enough. They should be asking, when they see these, like the young man that just did an incident that they got in
Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Very intelligent, looked like a very intelligent man, skilled. And now we watch this young man, because when you're dealing with the feds, you're facing 30, 40 years. He never hit the street again. Mm-hmm. So we should start asking the question, you know, what's missing in their background to make them want to get involved with something like
that? Now, this guy is from a nice home and stuff, right?
Yeah, but...
I heard his dad talking and saying that if he knew what he was doing, he would have beat his butt. So he was kind of down to earth, but I don't know if they had money or his situation. It didn't look like they did because he shared a room with his brother.
Yeah. Well, they looked like a typical family growing on up. They weren't a very well-to-do, so that the kids were spoiled getting whatever they want, but it didn't look like that they were, waiting for their next bite of food to come on either. That it was probably mom and dad both working, and they paid the bills monthly. And
mom and dad is a key.
And they had the mom and dad in the household in there.
Mm-hmm. And still something... is missing.
Well, I think Lee hit on something earlier, too, that on some of this that's coming back to really kind of bite the country. The country was built on, we'll take your weary, we'll take your poor, we'll take anybody that wants to come in here. And maybe that worked back 200 years ago when the country was being, developed and stuff. People were coming away from the poverty. But what's happened over the years is more and more of the third world country, whether it's Middle Eastern or whether it's down in South America or wherever it's coming from, pretty much anybody, they just came on in. There was no checks and balance. Even if you went through and you got some kind of a visa or whatever to come in here, it could expire and you're still here 20 years and it's been expired. Nobody ever went to check up on you. All of those customs and all of that baggage came with those people when they came on in, and there was no checks or balance on anything going on. And so there's been a lot of things that's gone on in their home countries that may not have been correct or may not have been handled properly. And like Melvin was saying with, United States getting into every little tiff over there if they thought it was going to benefit them in some way. There's a lot of people from those countries, and they're getting maybe their family members, whether it's a second or third cousin down the road that's sending stuff back. Because, again, we got the internet and we got the phone system, so everybody knows everything that's going on. But I think that's like stirring up this pot that causes a lot of, now I've got family that I'm trying to deal with me in a country. So which way am I actually going to go? What's thicker, family or loyalty
blood
to
or
a
mud.
Country? Really what it comes down to. And I mean, you see that. I mean, look what's going on now, just with when they opened up, just as an example, saying that illegal immigrants can get a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had an appointment, which was taking 6 to 8 weeks, it was taking anywhere from, 6 and 7 hours just to get up to the door to say, I have an appointment, because you couldn't just walk in. There was just people lined up all the way around trying to get a driver's license, which says this is how many people that actually were going to try to do something right that were here illegal. How many of them either don't drive or just figure, I've been doing this for 15 years. What difference does it make? I don't need a license.
Yeah.
And none of those are documented. Mm-hmm. Who knows who they are, what they fled from, or anything else that could come over here.
Harvesting inside of them.
Well, that or what they're feeding back to the their homeland. You don't really know what kind of information's going back out either.
And I'd just like to say also one thing. The major fault of what's happening in the Islamic world today, because the United States is right at the center of it, has to do with the Islamic leadership over here. See, as far as I'm concerned...
Are you talking extremist leadership, or are you just talking
Islam? There's no extremist leadership over here in America in Islam.
Because the government wouldn't permit it.
Well, I mean, that you can speak of.
Right, but you know how they got...
That we know of.
Yeah,
what you have is modern Islam controlled mainly by the immigrant Muslims and stuff that control most of the masjids, Islamic Center. I always said, and I still stand by this, potentially the group that has the potential, right, to solve this whole Islamic problem that they're dealing with right now
is the church.
Is the ones that Warif D. Muhammad left behind that used to be part of the Nation of Islam. I'm not talking about because people confuse that with Minister Farrakhan, and I do a great job in terms of black nationalism and all that kind of stuff. But to deal with Islam, we deal with real Islam and stuff like that, it's the same thing like to deal with Christianity, to deal with Judaism. It comes with knowledge, knowing that scripture.
I know, but what you're saying is not, we don't have to deal with true Islam because there's not a problem there. Is there a problem?
That is the problem. True Islam.
If you go in the Quran and you live according to Quran and Sunnah, right, then you don't have no problems.
Okay, because but that's society, true Islam.
Let me give you
Islamic, right?
Let me say this, man.
You know, that I was looking at a movie today, a documentary, really. It's about Crips and Bloods. That's where it starts. It's called Made in America. I mean, you've probably seen it, right? And the guy on there talking to somebody older, right, he said that back in the 50s, he wanted to join the Boy Scouts, right? But when he went, his mom took him down to join the Boy Scouts, right? The leader, people that interviewed him say, well, I don't know, because the parents might not like that, you know?
Was he black?
You
left that
parents
out.
Might not like that. So he went on back. And then they wanted a club. Mm-hmm. But they called it a club, and other people called it a gang, right? So... In Islam, they're doing the same thing, right? You're calling somebody that's a Muslim, right, a gang.
A terrorist.
You know, you look at, I remember back there, when was that, in 2001? Man, they shot Muslims off of ladders. Back here in Central Avenue.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right? Uh-huh. Guy working on an apartment building, gets shot in the back.
By black people or whoever.
We don't know who. But this is the kind of phobia that gets people killed.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Not to you looking for some old terrorist, you call them a terrorist because you can find a whole bunch of people terrorists. Mm-hmm. You know, a whole bunch of them, all different colors and shades, you know, and heights and sizes, you know.
Well, it was after the September 11th thing that kind of sparked the...
And so everybody focused in just on Muslims. You know, just Muslims. I don't care which one it is.
And people are kind of angry about the profiling and
stuff. And they're doing
that's
the same thing today with this homegrown thing. You know, if it didn't happen 50 years ago, 25 years ago, then if anybody had a gripe.
Is the homegrown thing targeting Muslims specifically or just anybody?
I think it's Muslims,
or that it
right?
could be anybody.
I mean...
Well, no.
Because if it's homegrown, it seems like it's a domestic thing where it could be any person.
They called Tim McVeigh a homegrown terrorist. He wasn't promoting anything to do with Islam. Islam or anything else like that, but they called him homegrown terrorist.
What Timothy McVeigh got into it was about that dude Koresh in Texas. Mm-hmm. That was collinked in together. Mm-hmm. So he retaliated because of that incident.
What I want to say is this, because like I mentioned earlier, I don't think that word homegrown terrorist, when you break it down, has absolutely no meaning because it can apply to a lot of different situations. But what I want to say is I want to give you an example of the difference between Islam and pretend Islam. Islam is based upon the revelations of the Quran, right? The Quran in Surah 2 say there is no compulsion in religion. In other words, you can't force me, another person to accept that. Mm. Do you hear any of these Islamic teachers coming up here debating with these so-called, what they won't ever call these homegrown terrorists or the people that's pushing this other one? Give you another example that's in the Quran. The Quran say that you can't take your own life, mm-hmm. you know. Now, all these suicide bombers that's doing this, do you hear any Islamic scholars over here trying to point out that this is not Islam? Mm-hmm. This is where I say that a lot of these immigrant Muslims, not all of them, but the huge majority of them, you know, it's I put it at their fault because these are the ones that come over here and try to forget about the situation that they left over there.
So you're trying to say, they're coming over here and forgetting mm-hmm. and not trying to set a situation or teach
their situation
the
is
that
similar.
This is not.
Their situation is similar to a lot of African Americans who get their education and move into the boardroom and forget about the people in the ghetto and the people living on the streets of Skid Row because they making their money now. Same thing. You know, it's no different.
Well, I think what I'm getting mm-hmm. from Melvin is the same thing that's gone on with the Christian faith. You know, I mean, how many different types of Christian, you know, when you say Christian, is there, you know, when you take a look at it between, you know, there's the Catholic, there's the Lutheran, there's the Protestant, there's the Baptist, there's the non-denominational and stuff. I mean, even when you have, you know, all kinds of people coming back and some of these, when you even get into the Mormons and stuff, they're saying, well, we're Christian, but a lot of these are created through somebody. They're, you know, they're not, I mean,
they have a founder.
They have a founder of these type of things.
That person's belief.
So, you know, because, you know, myself included on this is that, you know, don't really know the Quran or anything like that. So when you hear about someone that says, oh, well, they're Muslim, you know, you automatically think Muslims all have the same belief, just like if you were saying Christians all have it. But yet, because I understand Christianity, I know that there's all different types that have all different types of beliefs and everything else like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, we take Muslims or, you know, to me, there's the Middle East Muslims and there's the black Muslims. And
Shiites and the Sunni.
We have to wind down. Sir, any closing comments or just thoughts?
Okay.
Closing
just went out the door. You know, a lot of Middle Eastern Muslims, right, they never read the Bible. Most of the Muslims...
The Bible or the Quran?
No, I said the Bible.
Okay.
They read the Quran, a lot of them.
Okay.
But they never read the Bible.
Okay.
You know, they never really got an understanding of that right there. Most Muslims, African Americans in this country, mm-hmm. came through Christianity, right? And are versed in the Bible. First. And then went on, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And you can go in there and just find a lot of similarities as what goes on, you know, what the Revelations was about.
Okay, got to make that point. We're winding down here.
I'm just saying, hey, it's an honor to be on this great show. You guys taking it to the next level.
See? Yeah, because we got you on here.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Niece?
I don't have anything more to say. I've probably talked the most today.
Okay, Ms. Duncan. Okay, then I would just like to say, you know, we are never more like the Lord Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating. All right? That's our show.
Thank you for tuning in to Positive Perspective.
Great show.